to somebody and just welcome them for a few moments.
Thank you for accommodating my wife and I. We are actually on our way down to Chicago, and so we are just excited to be in church with you tonight. Amen. I don't believe the answer is less church. I don't think the answer will ever be less church. Amen. Every time we come through those doors, we ought to be just, God, who are you going to heal tonight? Who are you going to deliver tonight? Amen. And I immediately felt in my heart, I do have a word for us tonight. And I'm excited. Now, I'm in a little bit of a goofy mood, so just kind of bear with me, okay? We're going to get somewhere together. Amen. Would you, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 28 and verse number 11 and 12. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 11 and 12, and I certainly give honor to your pastor and his family. We love them very much, and we appreciate them very much. And we are just floored to be here tonight. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest." Somebody say rest.
Rest.
And this is the refreshing. Would you say refreshing?
Rest.
This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. In other words, God provided them a way to be refreshed, but they would not hear. And so I want to talk to you tonight from this topic. This is going to be very unconventional for me, but I want to talk to you about this topic, the three R's to refreshing. Amen. I was writing a blog a while back, and this just kind of came up, the three R's to refreshing. How many know that in the church, we as the people of God are in need desperately from time to time of God's refreshing? We spend our lives giving a lot of times, pouring out, and there has to be an infilling. There has to be a filling. There has to be God's refreshing. We have to allow that to take place. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you about. There's three ways to God's refreshing. Would you help me pray one more time? Would you lift your hands, Lord Jesus? We thank you tonight for your presence and your glory that's here. Lord, you truly do inhabit the praises and the worship of your people. You dwell here. You live here in midst of our praise and worship, and we thank you for that. But God, I pray that you would open our ears, open our hearts to receive your word tonight. I pray that you would let your spirit pierce through all the walls and barriers that we tend to put up from time to time. And I pray, God, that you would just do a work on our hearts tonight. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. And we ask it all in your wonderful name. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. One more time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody. Tell them how great they look tonight. Amen. I get to, you may be seated. Okay, it's all right. I get to see all you. You all look great tonight. You ought to give yourself a hand clap real quick. Three R's to refreshing. Now, I told you I was in a little bit of a goofy mood tonight, so just bear with me, okay? But One of the most difficult times of year for me is during, slightly after the holidays fall, you know, like Thanksgiving comes in November, and then you have Christmas time. And I don't know what your family does for those holidays, but my family, we like to eat during the holidays. Okay? It's okay. You identify with that. Okay, you're with me. Okay, so strategically, one of the biggest profit times throughout all the year for the health industry and gyms and all the gym memberships is usually from about January to March. Because people like you and I, we come through the holidays and we decide that, you know what, we've had enough. You know, we're going to get ourselves back into shape. And so we're going to do something, some sort of exercise. People flock to the gyms or they flock to wherever. And they start out with a commitment. And it usually lasts a month, 2 months. The real committed people last about 3 months. And then they're out of there. Now, I have a good friend. And, you know, we kind of made a commitment to each other. We started talking. He said, you know, we need to get into shape a little bit. And so we're going to keep each other accountable. And so we start talking about diet and exercise. We're going to go on this fruits and vegetable diet. That's it, fruits and vegetables. Now I love fruit and I love vegetables. But I like pizza and I like candy and I like a lot of other things, okay? So the first couple of days isn't bad. And we cut out all, as far as liquids go, we just started drinking water. That's all we just, water, 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 water. Because water is good for you, right? Amen. We need to drink water. And, but I have a weakness. I don't know what your drink of choice may be, okay? And I don't want to offend anybody here tonight. But for me, my weakness is an ice cold can or bottle of Coca-Cola. Okay, I got one. if you're a Pepsi person, go ahead, throw your hand up. Okay. Am I outnumbered tonight? Is that what it is? I already started out on the wrong foot. It really doesn't matter. Could be Mountain Dew, could be Pepsi. For me, it's Coca-Cola. You know, when it's ice cold, and I mean, it's so cold that the can is sweating. Like, you could write in the can. It's dripping down and just. And you go back and you get that cold. If you're a Coke person, you don't have to, you get that cold burn that just goes down. And there's something about that burn that just, somebody help me preach tonight. There's something about that burn that just brings refreshing. Somehow I'm going to get back to the spiritual side of things, okay? Just help me out. There's something about that can of Coke that brings refreshing to me. Now that, you know, that might be the physical side of refreshing. But what about spiritual refreshing? And that was kind of a goofy introduction. I told you, I'm in just a mood tonight. What about spiritual refreshing? I was asked to do something a while back, and I started looking at this main scripture in Isaiah, the scripture I used. And I was like, God, how are your people refreshed? I often ask God questions like that. And I started looking through the scriptures. I mean, from Genesis page 1 all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. I was just searching, and I was looking, Pastor Shu, I was looking for something so spiritual and deep and profound. Like, God, show me how. And I'm looking for some kind of supernatural way that God's people are refreshed. And you know what? I'm amazed. I've been saying this often, but I'm amazed at how practical this book really is. It's not deep. It's not so profound. But the God that we serve is very practical. And so I found how God's people receive his refreshing. And there's only three ways that God's people receive his refreshing. Now I started digging, I was looking, I thought, now Jesus, there's got to be more than just this. But as I looked through and went all the way through, there was only three R's to refreshing. So I'm going to give you the first R. Are you ready for it? Okay, the first R, now just bear with me because this might not be spiritual enough. Again, I told you how practical the Bible is, right? The very first R, how do I receive God's refreshing? The very first R, the very first way to receive God's refreshing is through rest. I know, this isn't the Brother Ball you're used to. This isn't spirit. Physical rest is the very first R. How you position yourself to receive God's refreshing is through physical rest. Some of y'all don't get enough sleep. You know, Americans are some of the most sleep-deprived people on the face of the planet. And as long as we get a cup of coffee, now I'm not hating, okay, because I love coffee. As long as we get our fit, we're okay. But we are some of the most sleep-deprived people in the world. Some of y'all need to take a nap. That might be the most help I'll get all night right there. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't take a nap right now. That's not what he's talking about. Don't take a nap right now, but you need rest. Now, I'm going to I don't want you to just bear with me here. Because I read this article, and I'm gonna read you some medical effects of what sleep deprivation does to you, okay? So let's get serious for a minute. Here we go. Increased stroke risk leads to obesity, fuels memory loss. I told somebody, I said, I claimed that one for myself. When my wife sends me out with a list and I come back, guys, you know what I'm talking about, and I only got like 2 out of the 10 things, a sleep deprivation. Damages bones, increased cancer risk, damages your heart, it can kill you. This is by Time Magazine. It says, in fact, short sleepers seem to die younger of any cause than people who sleep about 6.5 to 7.5 hours a night. A 2010 study examined the impact of short sleep on mortality and found that men, you there? Give me a, there we go. Men are there. Men who slept for less than 6 hours were 4 times more likely to die over a 14-year period. Sleep deprivation. Okay, so rest is very important. Rest is so important. Here, if you're thinking, some of y'all might be thinking, this guy's crazy. He know what he's talking about. Okay, if you don't believe me, rest is so important. God rested. God rested. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I want to read them. Can we get this up on the screen tonight? There it is. Okay, great. Look at this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts with them, of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So God, he not only rested. So if God rested, we need to rest. Amen. I got a witness on that. But not only did he rest, but he thought it was so important that he created a special day called the Sabbath day. Now, a lot of people argue, well, you know, it's Friday, it's Saturday, it's Sabbath day, Sunday, well, it's Monday, no, it's Saturday. That's really not important. The important part is God said, you need to set aside time to where you do nothing else. You need to have time for yourself. You need to find time to rest. A lot of times, and look, if we're too physically exhausted, sometimes we can't position ourselves to receive a spiritual blessing from God. You need rest. And so God created that Sabbath day. So we see this, okay? So in order to receive God's refreshing, we, number one, need rest. Number two, The second R, you say, how do I receive God's refreshing? The second way I found in the scripture was through, we receive God's refreshing through repentance. Amen. Amen. Repentance. Amen. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, if we could bring that one up. This was our text. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. I think you need some rest, brother. You're still on one point, number one. I think he was up getting it. No, okay. Isaiah 28, 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Verse number 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, we hear the scripture, and we automatically go to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that this is a prophecy to the future, to where God's going to pour out a spirit with stammering lips, that is the speaking in tongues. I would agree with that. But this is what they call in the theological world a dual prophecy. In other words, that this prophecy in Isaiah was not only relevant to the future, but it was also relevant to a people of that time. So what was happening in Isaiah's day? In Isaiah's time, God's people were living contrary to God's ways and God's laws. And so the Lord was trying to get them back on track, trying to get them to repent and to align with his will and his ways. But the people would not listen. And so God says, okay, here we go. And through the prophet, he spoke, with stammering lips, in another tongue will I speak to this people. In other words, Israel, if you can't get it together, then I'm going to send the Assyrian army, the enemy army, and I'm going to send them to you. You're not going to understand. It's going to be with stammering lips. It's going to be another tongue, but you're going to get the message that you need to repent. God was trying to provide a way for his people to get back on track. But the Bible says, yet they would not hear. You can look in the Bible all you want and you won't find anybody receiving God's promise without first having a time of repentance and consecration. Amen. Repentance and consecration always precede God's blessing and God's promise. That's why when you fast forward all the way to the book of Acts, when God poured out his spirit, the people in the book of Acts asked Peter, how do we receive? What do we need to do? And Peter said, well, guess what? Here's what you need to do. You need to, number one, repent. Be baptized. God is methodical. God has a plan. God has a pattern that we need to follow. And repentance always precedes his promise. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. Says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, this is great, because this Greek word here, blotted out, means, it's pronounced exhalopho. And it means, in the Greek language, it means to smear to the point of not being able to recognize it. So I know we do a lot of communication now with our thumbs, right? Text message and everything else. But have you ever been writing, you know, longhand with a pen or gel pen, or drawing a picture, and you're into it. You're probably 3-4 sentences into it. Your arm's starting to cramp. Anybody remember the arm cramp? Some people, you just got the thumb cramp. And there was a time when you got an arm cramp. But then you're not paying attention and your arm smears across it and you, oh. And there goes all your words. They're just smeared out. You know what I'm talking about? This is what this Greek word is saying. Repent, that your sins may be blotted out, smeared out. But it's much more, the Greek is much more aggressive than that. It's not just blotted out. But the Greek really speaks of God not erasing or scratching off to the point of not being recognized, But it really speaks more of the fact that God just totally removes it. In other words, when you're writing and you make a punctuation error, you make a spelling error, you can take that pen and you can kind of scratch that out and just keep on going. But you can always look back on that paper and see where you made that spelling mistake, where you made that punctuation mistake. What that Greek word means, blotted out, if I could just give you a visual image of what is happening there. That as you're writing the story of your life and as you make a mistake, God does not scratch it out to where you can't see it. God would grab that piece of paper, he would crumble it up, and he would throw it in the trash can and then give you a brand new piece of paper and say, okay, let's try this again. And when we fail God again, guess what? He grabs that piece of paper, crumbles it up, throws it in the trash can, and says, okay, let's write again. Amen. Repent so that times of refreshing can come to you. Yeah. So we have this negative, such a negative idea and connotation of what repentance is. I don't know where it came from, but repentance isn't a nasty thing. Repentance is not an ugly thing. But sometimes in the church world, we look at repentance as reserved for vile and rotten people. Some of y'all might be thinking that he's preaching to so-and-so, you know, across the way. He's got their number. Repentance is not vile. It's not reserved for somebody that's vile or for somebody that's rotten. Repentance isn't an ugly thing. Repentance is a beautiful thing. You understand what repentance really is? It's saying, God, I've been trying to go my way, or I've gotten off track going my way, and I want to now realign my way with your way. I want to try it your way. I don't want to do it my way anymore. Repentance isn't an ugly thing, but repentance does cost. It costs you. There has to be a change of heart. There's two main Hebrew words for heart in the Old Testament. One speaks of the outer man, the emotions and the intellect. But the other speaks of the very depths of who somebody really is. Can I tell you, we allow God too many times just to move on our emotions and our intellect. But we never allow him to pierce through the walls into the depths of who we really are. Repentance is opening yourself so that God can come right into the depths of your heart and change it. But there is a refreshing that comes along with being aligned with God's will. Amen? I want to tell you a story. And this story is about a Dallas Cowboys wide receiver. He was a football player. They had a team Bible study. They still do to this day have a team Bible study to where it's open to any of the members of the team. Well, while they were in this team Bible study, it's a big group, this wide receiver, throughout the course of the Bible study, he was crying. Well, they ended up asking him what was wrong, and he stood up. And he made a confession to the group, and he said, this is a true story. He said, I need you all to pray for me because I have to talk to my wife. And he said, there was a time a few years back when I was living in adultery, and he said, I've never told my wife, but I feel like I want to confess this to her. And so they prayed for him. And he came back the following week, and he wanted to testify. He wanted to share his story with the team again. And so they allowed him to share the story. And while he was in the group, he stood up, and he said, I want to tell you all what happened. He said, I sat down with my wife, and I opened up, and I just divulged everything. I gave everything. I told everything, all the details. I talked to her about the situation, and he said, once I got it all out, he said, it was about 2 minutes of just silence, and then she looked up at me, and she said, I'm so sorry that you had to carry the weight of that all this time by yourself. I'm so sorry you had to carry the weight of that this whole time by yourself. And I heard that story, and it just made me think about Jesus Christ. Because many of us have failures and we have pasts, and we try to carry the weight and the burden of our failure and our sin many times all by ourselves. But I think what Jesus would say to some here tonight is, I'm so sorry that you've had to carry the weight of this thing your whole entire life or this whole entire time by yourself. If you know what I'm talking about, you've been in a time of repentance to where you know beyond the shadow of doubt that you were in a deep moment with God. And when you stood up from that, there was just some kind of refreshing that was on you because you knew, you had no doubt when you left there that I was aligned, I'm aligned with God's will. There is a refreshing that comes through, number one, rest, and number two, repentance. There were scriptures for both of those. But in my findings, the vast majority of the Bible points to this third and final R, this third and final way we receive God's refreshing. And that is, we receive it through rest. We receive it through repentance, finding times to consecrate ourselves or reconsecrate ourselves with the Lord. But number three, we find God's refreshing through relationship. Relationship. This is not relationship like a boyfriend, a girlfriend relationship. But we receive God's refreshing through relationships that we have with one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we minister one to another. I've seen all kinds of miracles since we've been traveling. And I have seen some where God works out of the gift of faith, and because faith is so elevated, he'll just boom and do it for somebody. But the vast majority of the miracles that I've witnessed is when somebody would come over and say, I'm going to pray for you. And they lay hands on each other and they begin to pray, and God's spirit begins to move. God's refreshing doesn't always just come on you as a singular, just as an individual. But God's refreshing flows through the body of Christ. I'm going to bring up some scriptures here, and then I'm going to preach just a little bit to you. But Romans chapter 15, verse 32, Paul refers through many different points in his epistles about this subject of God's refreshing. But Romans chapter 15, verse number 32. Paul says that I might come to you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. And then if we could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 17, and 18. We're going to see another instance here. So Paul was writing to the church at Rome. Now he, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 17, and 18. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortuitous and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. How many know that some of us might be lacking in certain areas, but there's other people that are strong in those areas that you're weak in? See, some of y'all might be the finger, but some of you might be the hand. Paul is trying to draw the picture that we need each other. Verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that they are such. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13. I'm trying my hardest not to make a rusting joke right now. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you also. Now Paul pinpoints the fact that some of the church brought refreshing then to Titus. And then Philemon chapter 1 verses 4 through 7. Philemon chapter 1 verse 4 through 7. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Verse number 5. Hearing of thy love and thy in faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. Verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Verse number 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels, the very depths of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And then I want to turn your attention to my last scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away. Will somebody say turned away? Turned away from me, of whom are Phlegius and Hermones. Verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. God's refreshing comes through the gathering, when we gather together and we worship in the house of God, when we pray with one another, what happens is God's Spirit begins to move and begins to refresh brothers and sisters. That's why the Bible says, forsake not. Don't forsake gathering together to worship me, to praise me. You see, church is so vitally important. And oftentimes it's written off. Well, I can, you know, miss out, or I can get in. I'm not trying to come down hard, because sometimes we have vacations and we have reasons that we need to be away. I understand that. But for every other time that it's available for us to be in the house of God, is this okay? We need to be here, because otherwise God cannot bring the adequate refreshing that you require. Forsake not the gathering, the assembly together of yourselves. God's refreshing comes one to another, brothers to sisters, sisters to brothers. See, we might not always like each other, but we ought to love each other. I'm the youngest of three boys. And so, I love my brothers. Let me just qualify that. But I know how to take a pounding. The youngest of three. I grew up taking beatings. I didn't always like my brothers, but I always loved my brothers. Sometimes we don't always like what happens in the house of God, but we gotta always love each other. Let me tell you a story real quick, and I'll wrap it up here real quick. But I wanna show you an angle of the story of the prodigal son that maybe you've never heard before. That I think God showed me this. I heard this not too long ago, and I've been saying this since. But the prodigal son, a story about two brothers and a father, their household. The youngest ran out. He said, I want my inheritance. Many of you are familiar with the story. I want my inheritance. I'm going to go out. And so he took everything. He went out and spent his inheritance on debauchery and just a lot of wasteful things. The Bible shows that the father was always waiting for him to come back. He was always excited about his coming back and looking forward to maybe the day when his son would return, right? So finally his son returns. And what happens is the older brother gets upset. Because the father says, well, you know what? Let's go ahead and we'll throw a party. Let's kill a calf. You should be rejoicing because your brother is home. And the other brother gets mad. I've been here the whole time. I've been doing my job the whole time. I've been doing what's right the whole time. Could it be that that brother had a relationship with the father's house, but did not have a relationship with the father? He had a relationship with the possessions, with the work, with the household, with his father's house. But if he were to really had a relationship with the father, he would have been able to love like the father. So many of us, we are in love with the Father's house. We love church. We should. But sometimes things happen within the Father's house that hurts us, that we don't agree with. But if we would allow that to affect our relationship with God, that we never had a relationship with the Father. We only have a relationship with the Father's house. Because when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, sometimes hurts will come in the Father's house. But you know what? You will be able to love and able to forgive if you have a relationship with the Father. Don't fall in love with church. Don't fall in love with the Father's house. But fall in love with the Father. Folks, we need each other. Sometimes we don't always like each other, but we need each other. Paul said in all his epistles, the people of God, the church refreshed me. I brought refreshing to them. But here in 2 Timothy, I want to point something out, and I'm closing with this. You can stand to your feet tonight, but I want to point this out. 2 Timothy chapter 1, again, verse 15. Please. Read this carefully. And I'll try my best to explain this. Bible says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia are turned away from me. Paul was in prison. And all those that are in Asia turned away from him, of whom are Phlegias and Harmonius. You know, I read that and I thought, well, of course people turned away from you, Paul. They told you not to preach the gospel. And you kept preaching the gospel. But you know what I realized? That it was not ungodly people that turned away from Paul. It was his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that turned away from Paul. He even said, all those that are in Asia have turned away from me, even Phlegias and Harmonius, even these two brothers of mine. Verse 16, but the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Onesiphorus is a hero in my book. You won't find him in the book of Acts. You won't find him doing mighty miracles. But Paul makes special mention of Onesiphorus. Because in later verses he said, when everybody else turned away from me, he came and sought me out in Rome. He went head on into the storm to find me. And he says, give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. I was blown away that Paul said, the believers turned away. Why? Brothers and sisters in Christ turned away from Paul because Evidently, they were ashamed of his chains, that he was in prison. And it would be foolish not to assume that every single one of us in some way has not physical chains, but we do have spiritual chains. We do have spiritual issues. We do have emotional issues. We do have a lot of things that we know that we carry. The important thing is not what you have that you're carrying. The important thing is that brothers and sisters that sit around you and worship you, worship God together as we sit around, but we're not looking across and ashamed of one another's chains. Paul said they were ashamed of my chains. I spent a number of years in the Marine Corps. Many of you know that. I've told that before. And I could tell you story after story of friends of mine that literally risked their life to pull a corpse off a battlefield. A body, no life. They went out, risked their own life to get a body off the battlefield. You might think, why? Why would you risk your own life for somebody that's already dead? But you see, something has been instilled in them that says, that's my brother. That's my sister. And I'll risk my life to get their corpse off a battlefield. And yet I see in the church sometimes a very different approach. I've heard it said that the church many times can be the army that kills its own wounded. But if we have a relationship with a Father, there's something within you that says, I'm not going to kick you when you're down. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to shoot you when you're down. I'm not going to gossip about you. I'm not going to backbite about you. But while you may have fallen on the battlefield of life, I'm here to stand with you. I'm here to rescue you. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to tell somebody that God's refreshing is ready to fall. It's ready to move here tonight. And for you, maybe it's through a time of, you know what, I need to get my life on track a little bit. I need to reconsecrate myself. I need to realign my way with God's way. God's refreshing is ready to be poured out. But I think tonight, I feel this tonight in the Holy Ghost, I really do, that if we would begin to minister to one another, that something is going to happen, and we are going to allow God's refreshing to begin to work from one person to the other. If you have a need in your body, physical need, would you lift your hand, please? If you're not ashamed of it, I do have a physical need in my body. Go ahead, I want you to look around. I know this is unconventional. Would you look around and see the hands here? If you have a spiritual need in your life, if you're not ashamed of your chains, or would you look at the hands go up? I have a spiritual need in my life. Emotional need. Do you have an emotional need in your life? Hands. There they are. Let me tell you how the Lord is about to move tonight. If you've lifted your hand and you're not ashamed, because in this is a safe zone. We're not ashamed of each other's chains. But if you've lifted your hand, would you make your way forward to the altar? As you're coming today, here's what I want to happen. I could try to raise faith. We could release the gift of faith and allow God to move. But tonight, I think like Paul says, that there's a refreshing that's about to come from the body of Christ. If you didn't lift your hand, I want you to come forward too. But as you're coming to this altar, I want you to find a brother or a sister to slip a hand on and begin to pray right now for one another. We're going to sing a song here in a little bit. But I want you to have faith to believe for a miracle right now. Some of you are needing physical miracles in your body. Some of you are needing spiritual miracles in your life. Some of you are needing emotional miracles in your mind, in your heart. Some of you are needing to repent and get your life back on track. And as you let your voice out, I want you to know that God's refreshing is beginning to flow right now. You need